Okay, we're going to look at the gospel again. Now, some say, well, we've been teaching about the gospel, but you know, we want to preach the gospel. But you can't preach it until you know what it is. You know, it's kind of, and there's so much confusion in the world today. It's kind of like trying to break in that new fellow at work, and I muddle through stuff there, and the young fellow, he's all gung ho, and he's all full of enthusiasm and confidence, and I just try to keep him on and tell him what I'm doing and say, you know, half this stuff I don't know, I just kind of made it up, and then some of the other things he'd get talking about, I said, I'm like that old black preacher. You know, I said, it's like the old black preacher. I got it hanging up on my wall there in my office at home. So, you know, you can't try to teach somebody something you ain't never learned. It's like trying to come back from someplace you ain't never been. And so, you know, it's important that we know what the gospel is. You say, well, you're just supposed to preach gospel, not about the gospel. Well, I think you got to know what it is. And so that's what we've been spending some weeks doing, and I wouldn't ever apologize for that. Well, we talked about the antiquity of the gospel to begin with, and again, it began before time was, really, when you think what Christ did on behalf of his people and the everlasting covenant, and the Lord's the first gospel preacher in the garden, and then we saw how throughout the Old Testament, you know, Jesus Christ is preached and proclaimed, and the Lord said, Abraham knew my day and saw it and rejoiced in it, and so forth and so on. And then we spoke about the meaning and the content of the gospel, and again, to summarize that down, it's the gospel is what Christ, all that Christ did on behalf of his people, and all that Christ does on behalf of his people. That is the meaning, the content of the gospel. And we've been the last week or so looking at the purpose of the gospel, and we'll pick up and continue on from there. And this may go on for a couple more weeks. I don't know what I'm looking at now, but the purpose of the gospel was to save his people. The purpose of the gospel was to redeem that people that God the Father had given unto him. And Christ's atonement is the basis of salvation. And we're regenerated, we're quickened, we're made alive, you know, apart from anything, any instrument, apart from the preached words, but because of and on the basis of the true gospel, which is again what Christ did, what Christ accomplished on behalf of his people. And as we were speaking of, I think last week, that when we finished up it, you know, God has determined to bring his elect unto himself by belief in the gospel, by receiving that gospel, by embracing that gospel of their salvation. I mean, it's already accomplished. It's already done. Christ already did it. But God will bring his elect unto himself by the embracing of that gospel. And they can only embrace it by God-given faith. They can only embrace it after they've been quickened and made alive by the Spirit. And Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto he calls you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's regenerated elect hear the gospel, and they receive it as good news. And we've talked previously as well. Again, it's not the good news to the world. It's not the good news to the reprobate. It's not the good news to those who reject it. It's called the gospel, but that's in relationship to those for whom it's intended. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Paul says down in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians 1, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. God's elect are predestinated. And they're predestinated not only to eternal life, but they're predestinated to receive the benefits of what Christ did not only in this in the life to come, but in this life as well. They're predestined to receive the benefits of their justification. That fellow called me last night as I talked to him, and just, you know, how we viewed some things and talking, getting into the aspects of eternal justification. I don't know if he really understood where I was going with that, but I don't think it set well with him. But you know, how can someone be in Christ and be unjustified? And the Scripture says we're in Christ from the foundation of the world. We don't know that. And yes, we're all fallen creatures, because not only are we in Christ, we're in Adam. And like I was sharing with my friend Gary, you know, we're all fallen creatures. We're not innocent. We're fallen. We all fell in our father Adam. We were all part of that. But what a blessed thing to realize as well, is that as God opens our eyes, that we were also in Christ from before the foundation of the world, but we didn't know that. And like the little boy I spoke of last week, the little prince that's kidnapped in infancy and doesn't know that he's a prince. You know, he's raised up a pirate, or he's raised up, sometimes I tell it, a gypsy. But whatever, he's raised up as something else. He never knows he's, but he's always a prince. You know, it takes something to reveal that to him. And his father brings him back to him and reveals to him that, you know, you're a prince. What a glorious truth, and that the privilege we have to proclaim what Christ has done for his elect, and know that the elect will hear and receive that. Those who are ordained to eternal life then believe and receive. Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. You know, what a blessing to know. It's not, none of it's by accident or by happenstance. None of it is dependent upon, you know, my skills and my abilities. I mean, I'm obligated before God to be obedient. But His eternal plans are not dependent upon the skills of you know, this measly little creature. God's going to accomplish what He's determined. And we're privileged, though, to bring that good news, the words of what Christ has already done. We're privileged to bring that good news to the elect, that they might see the truth of their salvation. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So God does not leave His elect ones in darkness. And that's a blessed thought as well. Now God's going to draw them to Himself. The Lord said, all the Father giveth me shall come to me. Over in John 6. And they will come to Him. God will ensure that they come to Him. And it's not like, I've shared with you before, I talked to one primitive Baptist preacher one time and said, you know, some of those folks that flew them planes into the Twin Towers, there, they may have been God's elect, and, you know, they won't know it until after they're dead. Well, I can't find that anywhere in the Scriptures. I can find the Lord says, all that the Father give me shall come to me. And my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And not only is there election unto salvation, but I believe God is sovereign over all things. And God is not powerless. Christ is not powerless. His high priestly prayer that He made to the Father on the behalf of the elect in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Set them aside. Set them aside. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, as we again were speaking this morning. This is the revealed word of God. I mean, how can I argue or talk to somebody about the Bible as literature? I mean, really, I think he must think I'm some sort of moron. You know, I'm just conceding his point to him. You know, well, we'll argue the Bible is literature. No, it's not literature. It is the revealed will of God. It is the revealed Word of God. And Jesus Christ prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, those things will be manifest. Those things will be made known. Yes, God chose you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, the Holy Spirit's the one that quickens us. It gives us a life. God draws His people to Him in His own way. I'm not amongst some of those. I've seen some preachers. It's like, you know, there's got to be a preacher there. I know one fellow I'd read, and he had sent out newsletters and stuff. People like, you know, it's supposed to be a life faith lesson. I'm thankful that the Lord's pleased to use preachers like me sometimes. But, you know, the Lord can use a printed tract. The Lord can use things that, you know, maybe are beyond our comprehension and understanding. And I've spoken before about, you know, John the Baptist, and I fully believe he was quickened in the womb. You know, he recognized the Savior. He said, "Well, how did that? I don't know." But the Lord does. But through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto He called you by our gospel. You know, those, again, that word is sometimes applied to what we're allowed to proclaim and the words that speak of what Christ did. He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God delivers His people. Not only eternal salvation, but He delivers them from their sins. Through belief of the gospel, the elect receive the benefits of what's already been done. Again, it's like that little prince that was kidnapped. He was a prince. He didn't enjoy any of the benefits of being a prince. You know, he may have been required to serve. He may have been treated as a servant. You know, but he was a prince. But he didn't receive any of the benefits of it until it was brought to light, until it's revealed. And I understand there's no perfect analogies to what God's done, but you know, that helps us to maybe understand it in our little pea brains. It was already accomplished. It was already done. It was already the truth, but He didn't know it. Thankfully, the Lord allows us to know those things. He opens our eyes to those things. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. You know, they're already elect. They're not like some of the Arminian states. Well, you make a decision and you get saved, and then God elects you. How is that an election? And it's certainly contrary to Scripture. And Scripture says chosen from the foundation of the world. And they try to argue around that. I mean, I've heard folks try to argue that. You know, you get elected just like you get saved. And you get that after you get saved. It's not in the Scriptures. But Paul says, therefore, and again, the privilege to proclaim the gospel and see the elect hear the gospel of their salvation and receive it and receive the benefits of it and to embrace it. Paul says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. I mean, they're already there. They're the elect. I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's already been done. But they receive it in this life. They receive the benefits of it. As their eyes are opened and their ears are opened and they're made alive and they hear and receive. And Acts 13:39 says, and by Him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Those who believe are justified. In fact, they're already justified. They're brought to see those signs. It's not human faith that does that. It's what Christ did that does that. But it's manifested in their belief. It's made known. It's shown who and what they are. And again, then in Acts 26, verse 18, says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive, again, receive the benefits, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. They didn't know that before. No, it's done. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The gospel is God's ordained means whereby the elect receive the benefits by God-given faith. Grace are you saved through faith in that and of yourselves. It is the gift of God. All the glory goes to Him. It doesn't go, you know, to the sinner who made the right choice. It doesn't go to the preacher that, you know, preached the right kind of persuasive sermon, you know, and brought people to make decisions. You hear folks use language that, like that too, you know, well, I brought someone to make this. No. The gospel is the God-ordained means. And again, the preached gospel, the proclaimed gospel, or the read, or where God opens the eyes and He brings light, that they receive the benefits of what's done. And the purpose of the gospel proclamation is to bring the quickened elect to an intelligible discovery of Jesus Christ. And that, in turn, will, by the power of God, transform them into His example by the truth and the works that He did, and then God is glorified in that. The Spirit produces life, you know, apart from the means of the preached word. He may do it in the presence of that, and it may at times be virtually instantaneous, as many proclaim, as the only way. But again, I think the Scriptures don't allow us to say that it always happens that way. The Spirit produces life apart from the preached word. And that preached word can only have any kind of effect after the Spirit has produced life. And it's the gospel message, it's the proclamation, it's the revelation of what Christ did that brings to this life that's already there light. It brings the revelation of truth. And so Paul says in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. It's already been done. But the proclaimed gospel to the quickened elect reveals. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That instrumentality of faith, yes, in our conversion is that faith that God gives us allows us to receive those things, to embrace those things. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And it's the just. It's those that have been made just by God that live by faith. That live by God-given faith. You know, it doesn't, again, it doesn't say, and you know, the faithful shall be made just. I can never live up to that. No, but the just shall live by faith. The just live by faith. Faith does not in itself make them just. They're already so, you see. The just shall live by faith. The gospel reveals, as Paul tells us there in Romans, the gospel reveals God's righteousness from faith to faith. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to young Timothy, in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. You know, it just really throws a wrench in most of the kind of preaching that goes on today and is called the gospel and so forth, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And it goes on in the next verse, but is now made manifest, but is now made known, you know, but is now revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. That everlasting covenant was already accepted. He was the surety. But it was manifest. It was made known. Christ came and accomplished those things in human history. You know, that's marvelous, almost beyond comprehension. We think about what was done. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It's brought to light. The gospel brings light. The proclaimed gospel. And it's based upon what Christ did, of course, but the proclaimed gospel brings light to the quickened. It brings light, as I'm apt to say, to where it brings light to where God has already brought life. We're not going out there. We're not manufacturing sheep. You know, we're not turning goats into sheep. That's not what we're about. That's not what we could do. You know, we couldn't do that. But it is bringing light to the sheep. It's revealing the sheep. And what a wonderful thing that is. What a glorious thing that is. And the goats, the unregenerate, they cannot and they will not receive. The gospel establishes the believer in truth. He sees what is. You know, before he was dead. And in the spiritual realm, he saw nothing. And what he did see, or what he thought, was the truth. You know, I guess he thought about things like, you know, I'm a volitional man, you know, and I can do and be, and I am, you know. No. But he sees truth. And it convicts of sin, and it leads to genuine repentance, which is, again, can only be given of God. Evangelical repentance is only on the part of a creature who's been quickened by the Spirit. Paul says in Colossians 1, verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. They heard those things. You know, Paul rejoiced in the manifestation of their faith because it's a work of God. Well, have ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is come in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God and the truth. You know, they heard it and received it. It was manifest that they were quickened. That they were quick intellect, that they were the sheep of God. But she heard of it. Well, his sheep hear his voice. And they follow. And knew the grace of God and truth. And God's glorified in that. And as we've spoken before, God is glorified in all because it's the working out of His divine plan. But God is particularly glorified in the salvation of His elect. God's glorified by profession and by the works of His elect that are all brought forth by His power and brought forth by the reception, by the embracing of that gospel of their salvation. Again, it was already done, but they embrace it. And Matthew 5, the Lord said, Matthew 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Acts 13, 48, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God." And again, that verse again, that's another problematic thing for some of those Arminians. "And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." I just don't know what you do with that verse, you know. "And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Romans 15, Paul says in verse 8, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." He came in time. He accomplished those things in human history. But they were already, again, He's the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. I'd like to explain that to you, but I can't, really. But He is the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. It was a done deal. To confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." God's glorified and the conversion of His elect as they embrace the gospel of their salvation. "For ye are bought with a price," Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." God's glorified and bringing the elect to Himself. Second Thessalonians 1:12, Paul says, "That the name of Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ." And then in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, Paul says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." And God delivers, you know, the quickened by the Spirit. And He brings them from darkness into light. First He brings them from death unto life, and then He brings them from darkness into light. In John 8, verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You know, He brings them alive, to life, and He opens their eyes and brings them into the light. John 12, verse 46, Lord says, I'm come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. Now the elect believe. They don't abide in the darkness. It leads as they discover their Savior. They discover what Christ did by the grace of God. They discover and embrace the truth of their salvation, the gospel of their salvation. No one makes Jesus Christ their Savior. You know, folks talk, "Well, make Jesus Christ your Savior." You pass that thing coming to church, Brother Hal, that church, as you're coming up to Parker Road, and they've had a sign up there says, "Be an organ donor. Give your heart to Jesus."
Where does that come from?
Be an organ donor. Give your heart to Jesus. Does that make you feel warm and stuff? He's the sovereign of the universe. Folks don't make him their savior. He made himself their savior. He determined that before the foundation of the world. He determined that. 1 Corinthians 14:23. Therefore, if the whole church be come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of the heart made manifest. So falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you with truth. And really in the context there, again, Paul's talking about the proclaiming of the truths of the gospel, the proclaimings, the simple truths of the gospel. Not doing it in foreign languages or doing it in these other things, but the secrets of the heart are made manifest. He transforms the elect and he reveals it. Second Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So he transforms his elect. They're changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And so the elect are brought to embrace the gospel of their salvation, to receive the benefits of that, and then God makes it manifest in their lives. First John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So it reveals, the gospel reveals the elect of God. And it allows the elect of God to receive the benefits of what Christ has already done. And so we've talked about the antiquity of the gospel and the meaning and content of the gospel and the purpose of the gospel. Next week, we'll go on and talk about the effects of the gospel. The effects of the gospel, and particularly the effects of the gospel as it's proclaimed. And we'll continue on from there. And again, I can only do a miserable job of trying to set forth these great truths. You know, I can't claim to understand all things, but they are glorious truths that God's been pleased to do, that's already been accomplished, but he's been pleased to reveal them to us in time. And I just pray that he might allow us to see and to understand these things. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together, number 337. We're bound for heaven, number 337. Let's stand as we sing this closing hymn together.
Precious blood of the Savior.
precious blood of the Savior. He arose from the tomb, the great victory to win. All the riches our Savior has given, and someday will take us redeemed and free from sin. To our beautiful bright mansion in heaven, oh, we're bound for heaven, God's beautiful heaven, where we'll live forever and ever. Oh, give God the glory, for we have been redeemed with the precious, precious blood of the Savior.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege to gather as your people. Father, we thank you for the truths of the gospel, for what was accomplished on our behalf. And Father, we thank you that you were pleased to make these things known to us. But not only were we chosen, but by your grace you determined to give us life and to allow us to know these things, to embrace these things, to receive the benefits of these things. And Lord, through nothing of our own. But Father, all by your grace. All by the faith that you would give, by the work of the Spirit. Father, in the light of these truths, we just pray that you work within us to bring forth and make manifest whose we are, and that you might receive the glory for all. But again, thank you for bringing us here together, and I just pray you go with us as we depart from here. Guide us each in our ways. Brother Dale, as he ministers to family, and Lord, keep him safe as he goes about the duties of his work. Brother Hal, as he ministers to children, some of whom are still at home, and all of which are still under his authority. Brother Pruffle, as he seeks to minister to family and meet needs and encourage, and or he seeks to be a counsel and guide unto Donnie. Again, Lord, I thank you for my dear wife, and just pray that you give us wisdom and guidance as we go forth and retire from secular employment, and give us wisdom, decisions that we need make, and Lord, as well as you allow us to minister to family and friends. Father, we thank you for who you are, for what was accomplished on our behalf. We pray in the light of all of that that we might each of us be obedient unto your revealed will. And we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.